This is Mark Strassman, reporter with Utopia Media Entertainment News Network. We're about to speak with James Robinson, who's the CEO of Cinema Electric. Welcome to Utopia Media Technology News Network.
It's great to be here.
We're going to talk about your company and its technology. It's called Cinema Electric. Why don't you just give us a little bit of a brief history of the company and your involvement with it?
Yes. My background as a producer and a director in motion pictures, and in late 99 and early 2000, we kind of saw an opportunity for a new kind of a new medium, something we call pocket cinema, but it's a very condensed, short, kind of open platform digital media that's being, at the time, was being started to be created on phones in Japan and in Korea. And we saw what we thought was the potential for creating a global product in Hollywood, in the same way that the music and the movie and television industry produces global products that are syndicated and sold all over the world.
So essentially, you were going to combine the best of the new mobile technology with the long established content production capability of Hollywood.
Yeah, I mean that was the idea, is kind of to create the Hollywood studio system for mobile phones. And what we found is that there was a real gap and a vacuum between what the phones could do and what the media companies were able to do in terms of offering a product. So we had companies like Nokia and Sony Ericsson come out very early, about actually 2 years ago, with phones that had video on them.
Right.
And of course, the Japanese and the Koreans were there before that. In their local markets. And so what we've been focusing on is producing and really thinking through what this new kind of pocket cinema is and what it means to be a completely new kind of mobile medium in terms of motion pictures and applications and information and entertainment services.
Okay, and in fact, what that implies is that we're at a very early stage in the development of this platform and media for it and content for it.
I mean, it's like the movie business in 1905 or the television business in 1950.
Right.
There's this exciting new thing that is connecting with people. And really, when you think about it, no technology has had faster growth ever than mobile phones. Not the VCR or the DVD player or television or radio. We've gone just in the last few years, for example, in mobile ringtones. I mean, it's only been like 3.5 years that they've been selling this product, and it's now over a $4 billion business globally. So the next step, kind of building on those ringtones, which is, you know, really a very, very occasional purchase for someone, because you don't change the ringtone on your phone every day, is daily consumption of kind of entertainment and information multimedia, which is very, very exciting, and this is just very, very new infancy all over the world. We're delivering our pocket cinema videos, downloadable videos, in a number of countries, mainly in Europe and in Asia right now, but they'll be starting in the United States fairly soon, and a lot of other territories.
And it sounds like such a good, and once you see it, obvious opportunity that there must be a lot of competition in this space so far, or not?
We've found it a little light now. We're seeing a lot of movement just in the last 6 months of people being much more interested in the space. I think part of the reason that people weren't paying attention to it is that the American market, it was pretty much a secret that there was anything like you know, mobile entertainment, because it was really blossoming in South Asia and in Europe, where the Americans were quite a bit behind. Now, all of a sudden, you can't open a magazine or open a newspaper or turn on a television without seeing an ad for a color phone that takes video and pictures and sharing picture messages and downloading things and games.
But what you still don't see is any mention or talking about third-party content, essentially.
Well, the American market, I think part of it is due to the recent legislation that lets people transport their phone numbers to other carriers.
Right.
So the carriers are really battling out right now for market share, and there's some mergers going on. Obviously, Singular and AT&T are merging, and you've got other rumors floating around about mergers. So we've got, a lot of carriers, probably a few more than we should have in the United States, and they're beating each other up on price plans and billing and things like that, and they haven't really gotten to the value-added part of their promotion, which we think will probably be happening, you know, in the fourth quarter of this year or next year.
You'd think that would be a good way for them to differentiate themselves by having exclusive content.
Yeah, you'd think so.
Okay.
Yeah. And in some ways, they are doing that in actuality. Like Verizon is being very successful in their Brew applications and games and so forth. It's just that they've chosen not to put their marketing dollars behind it.
Ah, okay. Speaking of dollars, is your company privately held, publicly traded?
No, it's right now we're publicly traded. The symbol is CINM.
CINM?
Yes.
Okay.
And we are, we're just in very early stages of building the company. We're in early revenue, but we have a distribution deal that is in over 36 countries globally. And in many of those countries, we're with several operators. So right now, most of our business and our early revenue, like I said, is in Europe and South Asia.
Right. What was the stock price last time you looked?
Well, it's very low right now.
Well, that would be good.
We have some filings that are coming out and so forth. So we're finishing an audit, and we expect to see a lot of activity in the stock pretty soon.
Okay. Also, yesterday, apparently, you engaged a company called iCapital Finance.
Right. We've engaged an investment banker. That's just one of many announcements we're going to having in the near future. We've been holding back on some of our news because we want to get our filings current, and that's
right.
What we've been focusing on.
Okay. Let's focus in on the technology and psychology of all this.
Uh-huh.
Is your business model a subscription one, a pay-per-view one?
It varies culturally in different territories. For example, in some places, subscription models are moving slowly in, and it's kind of the Shangri-La for what we want to happen. It involves a more sophisticated billing and delivery structure. So a lot of this content business has been waiting on these big carriers to get their billing situation functional, and in many cases, you know, a large carrier is really a collection of what used to be a lot of regional carriers kind of cobbled together. And so a lot of the delays, especially in the U.S., has been waiting for that kind of billing structure to come together. But basically, the business model is in most of the world right now is a pay-per-download model.
Okay.
So, for example, in Britain, people were paying over £2 to download one of our little video clips, our pocket cinema clips. In Europe, they're paying about €2. In other parts of the world, in South Asia, they're paying, you know, less, maybe a dollar or less than a dollar. And these are, as you can see, the margins are, that's what's really exciting about this business, is
right.
The margins are quite spectacular. And I think that points to the really unique nature of what mobile media is. It's more than just a piece of media that one person consumes. For example, if you go to iTunes, you download a song for 99 cents,
right.
And yet they're spending almost $4.50 for one of our 15-second video clips in Britain. Now the reason is that they're really buying more than a piece of media. What they feel they're buying is a tool that lets them communicate better with their peer group, and also there's a certain amount of what we call social currency. You know, they download this stuff on their phone and they show all their friends at work and in the pub, and they can send it to different people's email address, and so there's a ringtone creates a special value for someone. The prices of ringtones are also outrageously high,
right,
compared to say the price of, you know, an iTunes download.
How much do ringtones go for?
Well, they range from you know, a dollar to several dollars. Depends on where you are in the world.
Now you get to use them over and over again, presumably, right?
Yeah, same thing with our media. They own that media, and they get to use it and store it and share it and do whatever they want to with it.
Do they? They download it, and then they can play it back.
They can play it back for a million times a day if they want to.
Do you use digital rights management software to control how often
they can play
it back?
No, we don't, because we think it's contrary to the nature of the communication device.
So your model is you sell it to them, they can use it as many times, and can they transmit it to other people?
That's the very nature of mobile communication and multimedia communication. They can send it to each other as a message. They can, you know, we have a whole line of video, what we call movie messages, which are video greetings that they can, you know, say, I love you, I hate you, drop dead, wish you were here, whatever.
Right.
It's essential to the core of this marketplace is that people need to communicate. That's what a mobile phone is. It's a communication.
Well, are you worried then that someone will pay you £2 or €2 and download something and then send it to their friends who send it to their friends who send it to their friends, and before you know it, you only sell one copy of everything you've got?
Well, we produce new content every single day.
All right.
So if I was the owner of Stairway to Heaven, I wouldn't want people sharing my ringtone because there's only one Stairway to Heaven or Hey Jude.
Right.
But our content is, we're talking about 15-second video clips that are very consumable, and we're living in a post-literate attention deficit society.
I'll say.
And people consume their media in little tiny bits and chunks. They want to be TiVo'd. I don't want to watch the commercials. I just want to get to the fourth. I want to watch the fourth quarter of the basketball game.
Right.
I'm going to be also on my computer while I'm watching TV, and I'll be instant messaging, and I'll be sending text messages on my phone. And that's the world we're living in, and that's the kind of media we're trying to create to fit into that lifestyle, which is a very almost like our brains are packet switching all the time. They're
right.
They're going back and forth. I mean, I would say any of us who have a phone conversation at work, we're also on the internet at the same time.
Right.
Or maybe we're answering emails and instant messages also.
Of course.
So that's our brains are running, triple the RPMs that our grandparents were.
Fast forwarding, how does that relate to news? I noticed there is no news.
We only produce content that has a long shelf life.
All right.
Again, our model is MGM in 1940. In other words, you create high quality content that has a long shelf life. Control the entire process from production all the way through distribution.
Okay, so you're talking about long shelf life and short attention spans.
Yeah. In other words, what I'm selling today in Berlin and London and Singapore, I'm going to be selling in 6 months in New York and Kansas City, and I'm going to be selling in another year in Kenya and Indonesia.
So, in fact, in terms of the cultural impact of the shaping of the content, what you're doing is you're already starting where cinema already is, where Jackie Chan can do his little moves without talking, and it's equally intelligible in Kenya or Moscow or Kansas City.
In a way, you're exactly right. It's kind of like reinventing the silent cinema.
Right.
We generally don't do dialogue-based content because
right.
we have to sell it all over the world.
Right.
So, like, we have an extreme sports line, or we have a bikini model line, or
right.
we have a greeting line, or we have a fashion line. Well, that fashion content can be consumed anywhere. You don't have to speak English to get it.
Right.
We're going to start to do things that are more narrative, but always our focus will be to make sure it's consumable by someone in China and in Rio de Janeiro just as well as in New York.
So, in fact, if it's models and sports, it's essentially bodies in motion.
We have a soundtrack, and generally we don't put dialogue in that soundtrack.
Right.
And if we, for our greetings, we often have text as part of the little movie.
Right.
And then we translate that text. Right now we do our greetings into like seven languages.
So you can, in fact, intersperse text pages or screens with the video, and you really are back to a silent movie.
Yeah, what MMS, which is multimedia messaging, does is that you can take a number of elements. The user can take a number of elements and put them together and send them to someone as this kind of hybrid multimedia greeting. In other words, you could take one of our videos,
right.
put together with your text message, and you send that together, and it creates something different. You could also download one of our still pictures, add the sound of a car wreck
right.
that you got off the internet or something you recorded yourself, and add that with some of your own text and create that. It's kind of like communication as collage art.
Right, and it's using the cell phone as a $100 cell phone for what $30,000 Avid editor used to cost.
Yeah, I mean, in a very simple way.
In a simple way.
Because all the new cameras, I was at the trade show in Atlanta a couple months ago, and every manufacturer is coming out with video phones, and that means that you can, right now there's a number of them, in fact many of your listeners probably have one and don't even know it has video on it because
right.
no one's been marketing that aspect of it. But they can take a short little video, they can add their own sound effects, and they can their own text and send it off to anyone's phone that's capable for MMS or anyone's email address.
Now, is that likely to be competition for you from 10 million people with cell phones producing and editing their own videos?
We think, if that was true, I don't think Hallmark and American Greetings would be in business because everyone would be making their own birthday cards.
Right, okay.
So we think that people, especially this young generation, is used to communicating with media.
Right.
They talk in terms of movies and dialogue that they've heard.
But you mean by essentially selecting collage elements?
Yeah, you may pick a picture of a fashion model
right.
and then some a rude sound that you recorded or got off on a website
right.
or somewhere and combine it with some joke and you send that off to your buddies. So you're using a mixture of user-created content and, quote, professional content together in kind of a hybrid. That's what we
right.
do.
Or essentially found electronic cellular art.
Yeah, in a way, it's a visual alphabet that we're providing, a multimedia alphabet might be a better way to say it.
Okay, multimedia alphabet. Do you provide any network services, or do you just provide content?
We're just like a movie studio.
We don't
own HBO necessarily, but we make the programs that play on HBO.
Okay. Talk a little bit about how you produce your material. Do you do it all in your studios there? Do you hire subcontractors? Do you acquire it from third parties? Where do you get your content?
We format it all because we've developed a formatting process that's patent pending that is exclusive to us. So in terms of formatting and adapting the content to really make it look its very best on the phone, that's something we do directly. The raw content either we shoot with our crews or we acquire the raw content from various sources.
That's called the dense media format, is it?
Right.
And what's it, for the technophiles in the audience here, why don't you say a little bit about
dense
media format?
Well, it's not a codec, it's not an encoding, it's more like a recipe and a process. It's less like Microsoft Windows and more like a recipe for making cognac. In other words, it's how we take the images, how we process them, how we, adapt the color and the contrast and the texture.
I see, okay.
And because the mobile phones, they have some very peculiar characteristics that if you just take a picture and throw it on there, it looks very dull and washed out and unexciting. So
right.
what we do is, also we labor under very, very restrictive file sizes.
Right.
See, our movie files are under 90 kilobytes. Now, when you think that the normal, 15-second video clip that you might download is 2 or 3 megs
right.
on a PC, you can see 90 kilobytes is very, very small for a video clip. So we have a lot of little tricks and processes that we've worked out over the years to really give the consumer something that's worth paying money for.
Is the aspect ratio on all cell phones the same?
We do about 9 different formats right now of video. Essentially, you could say yes, that the aspect ratio is pretty much the same. It's pretty much a 3x4 aspect ratio. You have different, you have, for example, Nokia has 2 major formats of phones. One is called Series 60, which is their expensive smartphone. The other one's called Series 40, which is the little groovy square screen that millions and billions of people have. So those are quite different files that we produce for those 2 different phones.
So you essentially end up with 7 different varieties of each of your files.
And counting. And
okay.
in terms of graphic, we produce over 30 different formats.
Okay.
So we produce content that's all the way from a still picture for your phone, if that's all it can do, to an animated GIF that, is like a motion, silent motion picture,
right.
up to what we call pocket cinema, which is downloadable or streaming video.
Okay. Talk about the specifics of your brands, of your content, and what they are and what's in them, and then we'll talk about how relatively popular they are to each other.
Okay. Well, we have 6 categories of graphics and 4 categories of video. The video categories are what we call pocket girls, which is not nude models, but kind of sexy Victoria's Secret models. We
right.
found that, that everyone was jumping into porn in this business, and then they kind of realized that the operators weren't, in most cases, weren't going to distribute that content and didn't want to allow for billing for it. And yet they wanted something to appeal to the men, and it was a little sexy, but no one had it.
Right.
So we kind of stepped in there, and generally we shoot those girls ourselves and hire the models and do all that stuff.
Okay. You do your own fashion shows, or do you go to other?
No, for the fashion content, we send crews for the video. So in some cases, we acquire the images, but we also send our crews to Milan and New York and Paris and London, and we shoot the shows there twice a year.
But Pocket Girls, you shoot yourself.
Pocket Girls are like the Victoria's Secret models. And
okay.
Then we also have Extreme Sports, where we acquire different Extreme Sports clips from a number of many, many sources. And then we also do what we call movie messages, which are the greetings, which we use old movies and little clips we produce and a number of different sources for that.
Is that a big, does that involve a lot of intellectual property rights negotiations with the studios? Do you have someone like Frankly, My Dear and that kind of stuff? In the movie messages?
No, because what you would pay for that, you would never get the money back.
Okay.
Now, we're generally working with public domain or old government films and little quirky stuff like that.
Like those How to Live films from the 50s?
Well, yeah, different things like that from the National Archives and stuff like that.
Stuff that's in the public domain already.
Yeah.
The fashion shots are called what?
Electric Catwalk.
Okay, and the other one's called Pocket Girls?
Yeah, so our video brands are Electric Catwalk, which is fashion, Pocket Girls, which is the bikini models, Action Sports, which is the extreme sports, and Movie Messages, which is the greetings. We're going to be adding Portable Hollywood is one of our, which is a celebrity and entertainment-based channel that we have on graphics. That's one of our most popular channels, and we'll be launching a video version of that in the fall, and then we also have some things I can't talk about, but they're more narrative and a little more experimental based. I mean, the beginning of this business is, of course, to grab the low-hanging fruit and to try to establish a distribution model and to do the easy, dumb stuff first.
I'd like to mention, in terms of easy, dumb stuff, 15-second spots by stand-up comics.
Yeah, which would be speaking English.
Oh, well, there you go.
And also would be... comedy is often very, very difficult to translate, even between
right.
Britain and the U.S.
Yes, I see what you mean.
But, we may, once the American market gets stronger,
right?
For example, Jay Leno's joke of the day would be perfect.
Right.
We've been talking to NBC about that and a number of other things, but I already know that my British distributors could care less, like
right.
Jay Leno.
Right, exactly.
So, As the business gets stronger right now, it's, in many ways it's parallel to 100 years ago. In 1904, you had, it was very early, but say by the teens, 1915, 1920, you had a truly global audience consuming films that needed no translation. I mean,
right.
Greta Garbo could hardly speak English
right.
in the teens, and yet she was a star all over the world.
How about movie trailers?
Well, movie trailers are one of the super dumb and easy things people think of, we've been in discussions about that. We don't like to be in a business where we're not essential to the process.
Right.
And we'll never own those trailers. Also, those trailers, generally, it's okay to release them when the movie's about to run.
Right.
But after the movie's run, there are all kinds of extremely complex rights with the Writers Guild and Actors Guild and AFM and so forth.
So you have to pay the actors money for showing this or something. After
well,
that,
see, that's a business we just choose not to be in.
Yes.
We choose to look and see what is this medium going to be, and then let's create content that can fit the medium and grow the medium and grow the experience. As opposed, because the studios suffer under a lot of legacy situations, because when they wrote all these union contracts, there was no such thing as these mobile phones that threw pictures around. So they're struggling with, what rights do we have, what rights do we not have.
Right.
It's extremely complex. And also, if you look at a movie trailer, it's shot to be shown on a screen that's about 30 feet wide.
Right.
It translates very, very poorly to a mobile phone screen, and that goes back to what we've learned over the last 5 years, that it's really best if you shoot this content expressly for mobile consumption.
So you do that, what you were talking about in terms of doing the dense media format, you take that from the beginning, pre-production.
That's the ideal way to do it. Like, when we shoot a fashion show, we don't shoot it like the guy standing next to us who's doing it for fashion TV.
Right.
We shoot it just for mobile phones, and that means lots of close-ups and angles, and we don't do wide shots, and we don't do zooms and things like that, because you have to understand, the compression process, and how it works and what works on the phone, and that takes years of just doing it and not liking it and,
right.
and going back and trying it again, and so that's what we've been doing the last 5 years.
All right. Which of those brands that you mentioned is the most popular, and what's...
Well, I'll let you take a wild guess.
Let's see. Pocket Girls.
Bingo.
Right.
You'll be receiving that fruit basket.
All right. Thank you, thank you very much. Okay.
Actually, that's our most popular brand. Also, Portable Hollywood in our graphics is very popular. And I would say in video, the video greetings are actually... the data is very early because in many cases distribution has just started. Like we just launched in Hungary about 2 weeks ago. And we're in UK, Holland, Germany, and Austria, and Czech Republic, and in Europe, and those numbers are very early. But right now we're seeing the greetings and the Pocket Girls are the most popular.
Huh.
I think where I really get excited is when we start to rethink what a narrative motion picture would be in this format.
Well, talk about that. Whatever you want to share with us about that so far, and anything about your plans.
I'll tell you a little bit about what we're thinking, and one of them is that we think it's important that there's not a beginning and end to these narratives, that they can be downloaded almost randomly, and the more pieces you download, the more complete picture of the narrative or the event or the story you get. So that's a kind of a different way of thinking about storytelling.
Right.
Third act.
The non-linear comes to mind.
Yeah, and then also I think it's very important that you, from the very beginning, understand that it's going to be a two-way process between the user and, quote, the creator or the studio. In other words, we want the users to be able to mutate and add on to the story, add their own elements to it, give feedback, so it kind of becomes this living, breathing thing as opposed to sit in a chair and watch the movie I made.
Right, so it's more interactive, more...
Yeah, and it has to be part of communication. It has to be... You know, the most success, everything that's been successful on the mobile phone, which the two phenomenons that have happened in this industry are ringtones and text messaging. Text messaging is obviously about communication, but if you think about it, ringtones are about communication. You don't spend $5 to download a ringtone to sit by yourself and listen to it. Teenagers download that ringtone, so with their buddies and their phone rings, they're cool.
Right.
That is, it's like a pack of dogs and you know, who's running in the front. And it's really this kind of social currency. So the kid that keeps changing his ringtone and always has the cool thing is not unlike the guy that always has the newest Air Jordan sneakers or the newest T-shirt or the newest styling this or that. And that is, in a lot of these countries, especially in Europe and Asia, the mobile phone is the teenager's car and his Nikes and his clothes all roll in the one. They spend much more money on that mobile phone for content and just for using it than they do any other single thing in their life.
Not to mention the third world, where there's no places where there's no technology, where you drop a cell phone in and you essentially have a university and a mall and a bazaar and all these things sort of dropped in out of space.
You have a lot of people in Africa with no shoes but mobile phones.
Right. Well, so that's good. They can buy more of your products.
Well.
talk a little bit about the huge multinational companies, Nokia, Samsung, Sony Ericsson, Siemens, and LG, that make these phones. What kind of relationship do you have with them?
We have direct relationships with two of the top three manufacturers to provide them with content for their phones. Their point of view is that they want to make sure and... show off what their great phone does, and they want stuff that makes it look the best. And they're also entering the content business. Nokia has a very large effort and very expensive effort into the content business, both in gaming and in the global distribution of content.
Yes, I found out about that you existed by visiting Nokia, and they have a list of about 20 companies that are providing content through their phones. And you were clearly the cinema player, so I'm talking to you and not some video game people. But obviously, they're interested in creating more awareness of your content.
I mean, that helps them sell their phones, because otherwise, everyone would have a 5-year-old phone with a black screen,
right? Exactly.
Black and white screen. So what's the only reason to buy a new phone is if you're going to benefit from the new technology and value that's in the handset.
Okay, let me ask you a technical question here. Can this content that you're producing be streamed via cellular handsets and then transferred to a set-top box and displayed on standard or large-scale screen, large-size screens?
Well, I don't think you'd want to. I mean, it's streaming is happening.
Maybe I meant download it and use that way.
Again, you've got a 90 kilobyte file that's designed for a screen that's about 200 pixels wide.
Right.
And it's not anything you would want to watch on a big screen TV. It's really a different medium, and I don't think they're interchangeable.
Okay.
I think you'd have what you'd have is a TV show with mobile content related things that are an addendum to the content of the show or the DVD. That's the kind of things we're working on.
How would that work?
For the future, for example, we did a one-hour documentary that we're editing right now called Fashion Week Undressed, where we followed three young fashion models through Fashion Week in London and through all their auditions and shows and everything. And we gave them all camera phones, and we had them take pictures during the week.
Still pictures?
Yeah, pictures on their phone,
right.
And then that integrates into part of the content for the story. So while you watch the TV documentary or the DVD, you can download and different content that they're taking and their diary and so forth onto your mobile phone, and you can vote for things and interact with the show.
So their big camera is videotaping their activities,
right?
And that's edited into a television program, mm-hmm. and there are links off the television program into their own little cellular phone photos that they've taken.
Yes, among many other things.
Okay.
Right.
All right.
Like there might be a contest to win a Gucci outfit or something.
Right. How much more bandwidth do you expect to be made available through cellular that might allow you to enhance what you're sending? HDTV is probably out of the question for the next 30 years, but is cellular bandwidth likely to expand any time soon, and can you take advantage of that?
Well,
as it
expands, we can do better-looking things, and,
right.
and it's going to be an evolution between what is in most of the world right now, which is what they call 2.5G,
right,
and 3G, which is been much delayed and much discussed,
yes,
and so forth. It doesn't really matter to us because our product, is of value and works well on the current networks. It's really much more about the thing we're needing is much more about marketing than it is about bandwidth.
Right.
But I would imagine certainly, within a decade we're going to see extremely fast networks that are moving to mobile devices, and from there it's really about the concept. And I mean, I don't think there's much reason to push more than 15 frame per second video, because that's a pretty good experience. And remember, unlike television, every frame is money. Every pixel is money, because you're being billed for it and it's being pushed through a network. So you can leave the TV on and you can go to the store or go on a vacation.
Right.
And you come back and you don't have any bigger bill except for the electricity you use to run it.
Right.
But the mobile user pays for every single kilobyte of data that comes to their mobile phone, and that is that's a major element in this whole thing.
Well, on that basis, we can expect both better pixels and better storylines then, because people are only going to pay for the best, and then people will produce better stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it has to be of value. That's why we say it's very important to, to have... sorry, someone just handed me a message in the middle. It's very important to have something that's of value to them, which is why we add the communication aspect in. But, they pay for it, so... it's more about how it affects their lives than, is that running at 60 hertz,
right,
and 30 frames a second?
Will your signals or your content ever appear on PDAs, laptops, desktop systems, or are they available now?
We have some desktop movies on our website that are kind of, prototypes. That's way back in 99, kind of the direction we were going in.
Right.
It was real obvious there wasn't a financial model and a business model to support that.
Right.
So our focus right now is completely either on the mobile content itself or in traditional media like the TV show I mentioned that strongly plays with the mobile element.
Right, which is essentially a marketing tool for the
mobile element. In a way, the mobile content can create more revenue than the television content.
Yes. In fact, the television content could even be a loss leader.
Yeah. I mean, that's what we're thinking.
What about WiMAX? Again, I'm starting to get the idea that you're working on cellular phones and only cellular phones, but what about WiMAX, which does provide another wireless broadband capability?
I mean, if people are doing, Wi-Fi connections that for their phones, and there are phones like that coming out soon that will be switching between Wi-Fi and cellular,
right?
That obviously makes it easier to consume files, and I would say actually the on most phones the delivery is not the problem as much as the storage is a problem.
Right.
So on some phones you're starting to see removable disks and drives and so forth. I don't think it'll be long till you can have a gig or more on your phone.
Right.
But right now your storage space is very limited on most mobile phones, so it's
so
that's a much more crucial aspect than bandwidth.
Okay, so and that storage is anybody working? Are the big phone makers working on that?
Yeah, they're providing slots for memory cards.
Right.
So theoretically, if you have a memory card in your phone, you have unlimited storage. You can keep replacing that. And of course, they're improving storage capacity on these memory cards all the time.
Right, or hook them up to an iPod or something, which is.
Yeah, well, you can through Bluetooth, you can send them to your PC and store them there, or you could. They're also developing kind of internet, electronic media lockers where you can send all your pictures there.
Right.
Because people are starting to they're taking these pictures on their phone, but they're not having a place where they can put them.
Right. So there's a niche there, too, of figuring out about that. Say something about your own experience or any market research you've done or focus groups about what the cellular viewing experience is. Now, for example, you don't want people to watch these while they're, say, driving down the freeway at 60 miles an hour.
Our research that we've done from our little focus groups here informally is that it's two things. One, we see attention wandering after about 25 seconds.
Right.
Another thing is that people see a lot more value when they show it and share it to someone than if they sit in there and consume it by themselves.
Right.
In other words, you don't really see people sitting on a bus watching these things over and over by themselves. What you do see is people wanting to send it to people, to show it to their buddies, to take it to work, to kind of to use it as this kind of social currency that we talked about. Those are two, I would say, those are the two most striking observations we have. A lot of people are really sitting and thinking, when is this going to be like TV?
Right.
But and I mean a lot of people. I mean some very, very high up people in this industry.
Right.
And they're not, I don't think, taking a step back and realizing that television is a business that was created a half a century ago, and it's basically designed to keep your ass on the couch until the commercial comes.
Right.
This is the mobile phone has, there is no couch.
And apparently there are no commercials either. What about that?
I think we're going to see, once we have numbers, real hard numbers to share with sponsors. We're going to see sponsored entertainment, like here's a skateboard clip brought to you by Mountain Dew instead of you paying for it.
Right.
That's a no-brainer. We're going to see that happen because the relationship that they could have directly with the user is phenomenally powerful.
People wouldn't pay for that wouldn't pay to see that commercial, would they?
I don't think you're going to see a commercial. I think you're going to see sponsored entertainment.
Right.
You're going to see this Pocket Girl brought to you by Budweiser.
Right, or someone skating along with this shirt that says Mountain Dew on it, right?
Well, I think it's more like, would you like to join the Mountain Dew Skating Club, and you'll get a video clip every week, you're going to get free coupons and contests and things like that, and it's not just going to be product placement. It's going to be like, going back in time, look at TV shows and radio shows. There was the Colgate Comedy Hour, there was the Diana Shore's show was brought to you by Chevrolet. It's going to be that kind of brand entertainment association.
I hate to bring this up, but are politicians going to want to use this to advertise their campaigns?
I would imagine you could do the same thing. You could sign up. The industry is very cautious about spam entering the mobile phone area.
Right. What kind of things are you doing, both technically and behaviorally, to minimize that problem?
Well, we don't do anything.
Oh.
We, our because ours is a for sale product, so obviously right. we're not going to give it out for free.
Right.
But the operators are the gatekeepers on that, and they're you know very concerned that you know if you're going to get something from someone, you need to say that you want it, and because it's not the internet. I mean, it's everything flows through you know T-Mobile or Sprint or whoever your operator is,
right?
And they want to be on top of it, and they want want to get out of hand.
Well, so, that's encouraging then. Then
yeah, it's it'll be fine.
Okay, what's the most satisfying part of your work?
Well, it's making up stuff and then trying to do it, especially when people don't think it's going to work.
All right. What's the biggest? What are the biggest challenges you're facing?
Well, raising money is always a challenge.
Okay.
We were very, very early, and if you remember back in 99 and 2000, 2001, it was right after some of the big content plays that kind of crashed and burned on the internet, like The Den and Adam Films and things like that.
Right.
So. We had a real tough time for a number of years keeping this thing afloat because the phones weren't out there, but we knew that there was something really phenomenal that was going to happen. I mean, there are more cell phone users in China right now than there are human beings in the United States.
Well,
they're going to be going to 500 million users by 2008.
Right, so, in time for the Olympics.
Yeah, so it's a phenomenal place to be. It's still very early.
So they're all going to want to see little clips from the ones who aren't in Beijing are all going to want to see the clips of what's happening in the extreme sports at the Olympics.
Well, I mean, there'll be all kinds of things going on.
Okay, that's going to be good.
But, it's a phenomenal growth business. It's like, you know, the beginning, someone just invented the car, and we have a chance to make tires.
Do you see what you're doing as more art or more commerce, or both?
Right now, it's commerce, and we want to push into the narrative, into the really expand it as a media with its own artistic integrity.
Now, what you said though that people get bored after 20 seconds. How are you going to do a long term narrative in that context?
Well, in these kind of pieces. In other words, if there's a story, there are seven pieces to the story.
Right.
You download all seven pieces, and suddenly it makes sense.
Oh.
I think of how kids, I've got two kids, I've got a 9-year-old and a 13-year-old, and they watch, they'll watch little pieces of their DVDs over and over, like they'll go to that part that they think is funny, and then they'll go back to that part, or they're going to go to part of Jaws where, you know, he eats the boat.
Right.
They don't sit and watch the whole movie over and over, and I think that's part of this continuing increase in RPMs and the way our brains work. We don't want to sit through the long narrative part. We want to go just for the thing that we talk to our buddies about.
And
they'll see that over and over and over again. So
right.
I think that's kind of pointing to this new kind of pocket cinema we're talking
sort
about.
Sort of TiVoization.
Yeah, it's right, exactly.
Okay. What technological advances are you still waiting for or working on, and with them, how far do you think these systems could evolve? And feel free to, you know, extrapolate as far as you want.
Well, that's a really good question. I mean, obviously, faster networks and more storage will make for a more enhanced experience. But I think right now, with the tools that we have, it's like I hate to keep bringing back these historical analogies.
Okay.
But I mean, if you were back in 1915,
right?
I don't think I'd sit there and say, you know, When you get color and you get 24 frames a second and you get sound, call me.
Right.
Because otherwise we wouldn't have a Charlie Chaplin and we wouldn't have Buster Keaton.
Right.
And we wouldn't have D.W. Griffith and Abel Gance. I mean, we wouldn't have some of the greatest artworks ever.
Right.
So I think technology always informs the arts. Even back to painting with the invention of oil paint over tempera paint and on and on and on. And it always, you take what you have in this new medium and you dive into it and you say, what can I do with this?
So in fact, what you just said, I was going to use the term palette. You're saying the palette is broad enough now to do some really good work.
I'm quite happy with the way things are right now, with the exception of marketing. And of course, we need more of these handsets in people's hands.
Right, okay.
But the handsets that are being produced right now today by the LGs and Samsungs and Sony Ericssons and Motorolas and Nokias are fantastic products.
Right.
And the networks are finally working and the billing is up. So really marketing and distribution are the only things, and, you know, that can be solved.
Okay. Business-wise, what are your long-term goals for Cinema Electric? What do you want to expand into, or what do you see a mature Cinema Electric doing?
We want to build our core business, which is what we're doing, but also we see a fantastic opportunity right now to merge with and acquire some players in mobile entertainment globally that are maybe don't see as much growth opportunity by themselves in the long run.
What genre of companies would those? I mean, what would they be doing now?
There are a lot of brilliant little application companies, application developers, and gaming companies.
Sort of do interactivity programming.
Those elements are going to be key, mixed with multimedia. We think there's also companies that are focusing on mobile phones as marketing devices.
Right.
Essentially, they're advertising agencies for mobile phones.
Right.
Those are important companies to the mix, and then also.
You mean using mobile phones for advertising, or?
Well, yeah, like the sponsored entertainment.
Okay.
And then also, we see companies that have direct distribution systems in place in different parts of the world as being very, very valuable too.
Okay. Anything that people ought to know about Cinema Electric that we haven't covered?
No, it's just that we're going to do very, very well, and they should buy stock.
Okay, and the stock, and it's very low priced stock, right?
Yeah,
now,
I mean it's a bargain today.
Okay, and the symbol is
CINM.
CINM for Cinema Electric. Thank you very much, James Robinson, for talking to us today on the Utopia Media Technology News Network, and hopefully we'll have a little niche on your distribution system pretty soon.
Great, and I'd love to be back with video, and I can show you live some of the stuff and how it works.
Sounds good. We'll do that as soon as we can.
Okay, great.
Thank you very much again for talking to us.
Take care.
Right, bye.